Well, I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name, and it is good to be together. I've been very much blessed this morning in our Sunday school class and worship service thus far. Thank each one of you, brothers, for taking your place, and all of us as we sang together and as we worship together. I believe that that is part of what makes our services a real blessing, in that we can all engage, and we should. Now, Brother Keith was planning to preach this morning, but babies have a way of just coming when they come. So I plan to take his place this morning. A couple weeks ago, I had preached a message here on fathers, and I was given a series of assignments for a Bible conference, and it was on father's responsibility was the theme, and it was father's responsibility to God. Father's responsibility to their, to his wife, and father's responsibility to his children. And this morning, I would like to bring the message on father's responsibility to his wife. It's a little bit different title. Normally, you think about a husband's responsibility to his wife, but the focus of the message is on fathers, not just a husband, but a father, and how that may affect or bring more responsibility upon a man in these relationships. And we're going to think about a father's responsibility to his wife this morning. So the first message, the first word in our title defines this thought of a father. A father is a man who's a parent of a child. So we're not just talking about any man. We're not talking about a mother this morning, but we're going to consider a man who has taken up the responsibility of being a father. And so I want to think about the role of the father from the perspective of the father's responsibility to his wife, as I already mentioned. Now, it is possible to be a father without having a wife. That is possible. However, in God's perfect plan and design, every man who has become a father will also have a wife. That's God's perfect plan and design. Our society, as we all know, has moved away from this, and we see the effects of that, of those choices. We see children growing up without a father model in their life. We see the single parent homes. We see the crime. We see the poverty and the drug cycles that go with that whole world. And it's all around us. We're very aware of that. And why? Why is it that that even exists? Because God has created this beautiful institution called the home. And in that home resides a father and a mother and a husband and a wife. And I ask you fathers here this morning, what would we do without our wives? Not just a woman, but a wife. The beautiful institution of the home. And why is it that there is so much perversion of that around us? Well, I think it's a simple answer. That perversion comes from the devil himself. He also has an agenda. He needs to break down this home. He needs to destroy that somehow, because it is a God thing. It is God designed, God created, and has godly purposes. And the devil says, I'm going to destroy that. I want to get between that, and I want to change that. And so that's what we see around us in society today. But this morning, we want to look at what God's plan is for us today. What is his perfect will? And I say to you this morning, regardless of your past, regardless of the homes that you grew up in, however perfect they may have been or how unperfect they were, you and I, and this message is to fathers, I'm saying to you, to fathers, regardless of your background, you and I today have the opportunity to look again into God's word and say, ah, this is what God is asking of me. This is my responsibility that God is placing on my life, and how am I going to carry it out? And so I want to try to see some practical instruction on that, and we'll get to that shortly. You'll notice I'm going to use an acrostic again. But I wanted to notice Proverbs 19:14 says this: houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from Jehovah. And fathers, this morning, as I mentioned already, that God has created this beautiful plan, and he says, no, your daddy, he can give you a house, he can give you money maybe, inheritances, but I want to tell you something, a prudent wife comes from God, and God's going to give you, God has given, this is God's plan. It's a plan from God himself. It is an exclusive relationship with a woman, with your wife. It is a monogamous relationship, one that is exclusive between a man and a woman. And as these two come together, they receive much from one another. And by the grace of God, they can become and do become a powerful force in the kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about this morning. And we're thinking about our responsibilities, fathers, in that whole picture. Well, what is a prudent wife? One writer defined this person as one who has good understanding, who avoids complaining, though she may often have cause for it. It's a prudent wife. I'm thankful for a prudent wife. And so, again, I want to look at 7 points, as you'll see behind me, to help us understand our responsibilities, fathers. And I'm going to start with this. Turn with me to Matthew 19. The first word for letter F is faithful. Faithful. Matthew 19 verses, I'll just read the first 6 verses. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Brothers and fathers, this morning, we are being called to faithfulness in our relationship to our wives. That's what Jesus was teaching us here. And I'll say again, I know that not everyone is a father here. So whether you're just a husband at this point, or whether you're not married yet, or whether you're a young person, I think there's much we can learn together in all of this. So come along with me. Let's think about this together. We're called to faithfulness in our relationships to our wives. And how are we to accomplish this call? To be one flesh, joined together, as Jesus was speaking about here. Well, first of all, God demands of us that we should leave father and mother and cleave or adhere to join, to become one. And in so doing, we do that. We become one as we leave and as we join. And we become more together than what we were apart. We become more together than what we were apart. And this morning, I think I'm going to say to you, brother, and to us fathers, we have the responsibility to see that nothing comes between that oneness. We have a responsibility to see that nothing that comes between that oneness, this relationship between our husband and wife, whether it be work, whether it be hobbies, whether it be children, even legitimate things, even good things, whether it be other emotional attachments, maybe it's a mother or a father, like we have already talked about, or whether it be a brother who is closer to us than our wife, or someone who we spend more time with. Those are the things that can come between us and can interfere. We have a responsibility this morning, fathers. And again, just remember, we're thinking about not just husbands, but fathers. There's an added weight that comes, because now it's just not just me and her, but it's us together for our children, because God has blessed us with this added level of responsibility. I'm sure we could think of many ways. We could think of many things this morning that could come between us. But perhaps the best way to test ourselves, brothers, fathers, in this relationship or in this question is to ask ourselves this question. Are we cultivating this oneness? See, are we making a conscious effort to share and be open with our wives about our thoughts, about our decisions, about the situations of life that we find ourselves in? And many times, as you look at this verse 6, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder, and we think immediately of something outside of our marriage relationship. Can we think about that as ourselves? Can we see that we could be the man who divides this relationship, who pulls back from this oneness, who is not willing to continue to enter in fully into this oneness? God's saying, let no man put asunder, and I believe that includes ourselves, fathers, this morning. Are we making a conscious, the question that I want to ask myself and I would like us to wrestle with is, well, yeah, I think my work, yeah, that's possible, but you know, I need to do that. But are we thinking about, do we cultivate this oneness? Think about that this morning. And as we continue on, some more thoughts about being faithful. I already talked about our oneness and maintaining and cultivating this oneness. Are we being open with our wives about our own battles? Thinking about being faithful. Is there any father here who doesn't have battles or temptations that could just weave its way in and come between husband and wife? I don't believe there's a man here like that. That is a present reality in our lives. And it's something that we need to be honest with. We need to be open with our wives about that. And it's one of the areas that as someone comes together and as they become husband and wife, and there is a growth in that relationship that must continue on. Because as that relationship develops, you'll find a more and more oneness and ability to share the struggles of your own life and allow your wife to strengthen you in that. I believe that's that is very important for us. Matthew 5:27 has those verses that 27 and 28, ye have heard that hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And those are areas of battle for us fathers. And it's an area where the devil, it's what he does around us, and he just wants to bring it in, and he wants to break up that oneness. And I believe this, fathers, for us to be faithful fathers this morning are those fathers who recognize that conflict wherever it may lay in their lives and the unique ways that it attacks us, and is going to do all that he must do to not let it interfere with that oneness. And that many times isn't not talking about it with your wife, but it's actually being open and allowing her to enter into that battle with you. And I believe that's part of our responsibility this morning. We need to cultivate that oneness. Are we doing that? And the security, as I think more about faithfulness as fathers, the security in the home where daddy and mommy are one, where they are. Fathers, we have a responsibility to our wives, not just for each other, but for our children, for our little ones. And can they sense the oneness? Do they sense that in our marriage? And as they do that, the stability, can they sense the stability that's in our relationship? Can they sense the commitment that's in our relationship? Can they sense the love that's in our relationship? And I believe they need to see that. And that's what God planned. And in that, there is a stability and a comfort that comes to them. When this godly environment is part of the home, I believe it will cover a lot of other difficult or less than perfect aspects of everyday life. You're right. Maybe there really isn't enough of finances to have vehicles that aren't breaking down regularly. Or maybe there isn't enough of You name it. Try to bring something that's practical in your own life. But when mom and dad, when the children understand that there is a oneness and a unity and a love between mom and dad, that covers a lot of those difficulties. And this morning, that's questioned to us. Responsibilities are ours, fathers, to see that that's being accomplished. And just one more thought yet on this thing of faithfulness. Fathers, we represent or become a type of Christ in our relationship with our wives. We're called to faithfulness in that. Ephesians 5:8, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth him, his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Our children, our wives, should be able to see a type of Christ in us. And that's a responsibility that we're being called to. We're called to be faithful in this responsibility. Can they see that type of Christ in my life? Can they see it in your life? And we're being called to that this morning. I'll go to my next point. Fathers, we are called to be an anchor in our responsibility to our wives. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, and but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And that's a sobering verse, because there's a whole lot, I believe, that's built into that word provide. You could add this word provide on the end here. But I'm thinking about it in the sense that we are providing. If a father's responsibility to his wife is to be the rock that provides structure and foundation upon which the home and our relationship operates. So we are to be that anchor where our wives can feel secure in, they can feel at rest in. And we are providing, we need to be available to listen. We need to be available to fix. We need to be available to find solutions for our wives. And there's another verse that brings that up. 1 Corinthians 7:32. Paul here is sharing some thoughts. And he said this, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. You see, this morning, in marriage, we give up, fathers, we give up some freedom for a certain carefulness. We become weighed down. We take upon ourselves, not just in marriage, but certainly as children come into that marriage, yet as fathers, a weight on our shoulders that just cuts some freedoms out. We don't get to go play like we want to, or we don't get to, and the responsibilities come down on us. And we're being called to be an anchor in this relationship with our wives, in all of this stability. That she can find. We need to concern ourselves with adequate housing. We need to concern ourselves with fuel for the furnace. We need to concern ourselves with food for the bellies. We need to concern ourselves with emotional stability in the seesaw of life. Anyone know anything about that seesaw? It goes up and it's down. And it's difficult, and there's so many things that factor into it. Maybe it's a third child. Maybe it's the fifth child. Or maybe it's financial difficulty, or maybe it's, and the list. You see, when difficulties arise in the family relationship, maybe they're even outside of the home, we have a responsibility to be engaged. When difficulties arrive in church life, when there are disturbing things that are part of our church life, Father, we have a responsibility to be an anchor in that. Say, now this is the way I understand it. And this is how we're going to see our way through this. When difficulties arrive in school, when difficulties arise in family relationships, all of those things, fathers, we have a responsibility to be an anchor in that, to be engaged in that, and to be a part of finding those solutions, to bring our wife and our children through those difficulties. Fathers, in marriage, we give up carefree. That's what this, we give up carefree. And that's a sobering thought. But let's continue on. There's some other thoughts that balance out that load as well. Continue on here to the next point, being teacher. Fathers, we have a responsibility to be a teacher, yes, to our wives. 1 Corinthians 14:34 says this, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, as we think about this role of teacher, we could bring in a whole lot of verses that talk about our responsibilities of fathers to teach our children, but that's for another message. This morning, we're thinking about our wives, and this verse brings out a responsibility clearly to us husbands and fathers to be teaching our wives. And I ask you, and I ask myself, do we have spiritual conversations with our wives? Are we providing an environment in our homes where our wives have an opportunity to even ask their husbands at home? May I suggest to you this morning that our wives will feel comfortable asking us spiritual questions if we are leading out in these kinds of discussions already in our home. And we're talking about those things. And I believe that's part of this oneness where husband and wife don't just live together, but they read the Bible together. They talk about verses together. They pray together. Those are part of this oneness that we looked at earlier. But that is how a relationship is established, where we can become teachers to our wives and in our homes. And fathers, we have a responsibility to lead out in that. We have the responsibility to help our wives, who are the mothers of our children, to understand spiritual concepts that they can pass on to our children. Our wives, you may as well admit it, fathers, our wives spend more time with our children and have more opportunity to influence them than you or I have. And I asked you, is she teaching them what you want them to teach them? Because the questions get pretty pointed sometimes. And so your wife says to you, know, Sonny asked me this question, and this is how I answered him. And you're like, well, yeah, that's pretty good, but and then you teach. You explain how you understand that concept. And so that needs to happen. Fathers, we have a responsibility. So many times, I'll have to admit, and brethren, I don't stand up here as someone who's arrived, but someone who's learning with you. And I'll have to admit that many times it's my wife who's asking me, it seems like many times we end up responding more than we actually lead out in teaching our wives. But let that be a challenge to us. In a world where men and fathers have disengaged in spiritual leadership, brothers, we are called to be leaders and teachers in our marriage relationships. We are called to that. And we're called to be a teaching resource in the relationship with our wives. And let's take up that challenge. Let's think about how we've come up short in it. And I think sometimes I know that we love to discuss spiritual things, spiritual truths, concepts as brethren, and we love to wrestle together. And our wives sometimes wrestle with those kind of truths in different ways. I mean, they just don't quite think on the same levels, maybe, or the same think of the subject in the same way. But I think we do well to discipline ourselves, to talk with our wives about those things, and together we can better understand them. Let's go on to our next point, and that is we are called to be a helper. And I know it's sort of, some of these points are a little close together, but turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. We actually are trying to look at a number of verses, and I'm not asking you to turn to them all, because we do need to move along, but turn with me there. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. We're thinking about being a helper. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, talking about our wives, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, it continues on, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one to another, love as brethren, and so on. Be pitiful, be courteous. We could take that verse in probably a number of different ways, but I want to think about our responsibilities, fathers, to be a helper. And thinking of them as the weaker vessel, giving honor unto the wife, dwelling with them according to knowledge. What does that mean? It's according to the unique knowledge of your wife. As you've gotten to know your wife, the mother of your children. And so this is an area, men, fathers, we probably all need sharpened up on. Does this mean changing the diapers and washing the dishes? Sure. It may mean exactly that. Or it may mean something pretty different in your relationship. We're to dwell with our wives according to knowledge and understanding them as being the weaker vessel. Fathers, as I think about it, our wives carry such a heavy weight on their shoulders. They really do. When we've had a sick one the last two nights, and she's been up a lot, and I was up a fair number of times. So as a father, I wasn't totally disengaged. It wasn't so many times last night, thankfully. But I realized that my wife carried the weight of that. I mean, she was the one who was really concerned about it, so much that I found my responsibility was half the time saying, oh, look, this isn't so very bad. And, it's going to be okay. And that's my responsibility. It's helping her to decide how we should handle that situation. And it's sitting there beside the child and being a part of that. Okay, and that's how we're called this morning to be helpers. They do carry a heavy weight on their shoulders. But it's a weight that God has especially designed for them. As we think about the home and we think about all those little things they do around the home and the fact that there is food prepared and the fact that there is clean clothes in the drawer again and the fact that the if it was up to me, the bedroom would probably look just as chaotic as it did when I left it in the morning. But, you come back and there it is, and it's actually a place you could enjoy going back into. And so they carry a broad range, and we're called this morning to be helpers, to lift that weight, to give honor unto the wife, to consider her needs, to see where she needs to be lifted up, to see how we can help them. And so we need to look for opportunities to lift the weight off their shoulders. This verse also teaches us that our wives are not some kind of slave, but rather we are heirs together, we are mutually heirs together of the grace of life, the gift of God, of salvation. We are that in that together. And so as we take our proper place in esteeming our wives and giving respect to her as the weaker vessel and as fellow heir of God's grace, something special happens even to our prayers, it says here. As you find that relationship, your prayers aren't going to be hindered. There's going to be a spiritual oneness and a union that is going to affect your prayers and what God can accomplish through you as a couple. I see that all in this verse. And so, fathers, let's be helpers of our wives as we should be. Let's continue on here. I know that this is another point that seems fairly close, this thought of being an encourager. That's what I have for our next point for the letter E, encourager. And I'm just going to go to Deuteronomy 24, verse 5. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. So, Brother Clark, I'm not sure what you're going to do with that logging business. But this verse is teaching an important concept here. And that is the importance that God has put on this union, the fact that when a man has taken a wife, he is to spend a year in cheering her, in encouraging her, in helping her walk through the adjustments of who you are as a person, what it means to live outside of her home and in this new home. And it's a responsibility that we have, fathers. I see that. I want to bring that to us. As we think about fathers, we think about somebody who's often at least a year into marriage or somewhere, or maybe a couple years into marriage, depends on how God blesses you. And so we're still thinking about our responsibility, fathers, to be an encourager and to cheer our wives. We get busy sometimes, and we never even see the tears. We don't see the struggles that our wives may face. We don't communicate our plans or our vision to her. Those are parts of what I'm thinking about in being an encourager. So when the meal doesn't turn out right, and when the children are fussy all day, and when husband and dad is gone at work again, and it's responsibilities that are upon him, or maybe it's the thing, maybe it's going off somewhere in ministry or whatever it might be. Do we see those things? When's the last time, fathers, that you intentionally put effort into cheering your wife? Intentionally. Took note and said, now I'm going to consider my wife. How can I cheer her this day, tomorrow? When's the last time, fathers? Thanks for the meal. Good job with the children. You are beautiful. Let me do that for you. Go take a break. Those, I believe, are all part of this verse in teaching us to cheer our wives, to be an encourager to our wives. I ask you, and I challenge you, fathers, and myself, if we are being the encouragers we should be to our wives. Father's responsibility to his wife. Let's go to the next point. And this point may be, this word I have in for the letter R is rejoice. Rejoice. Fathers' responsibility to their wives is that they rejoice in their wife. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says this, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in the labor which thou hast taken under the sun. Fathers, this morning, God desires that we would rejoice and live joyfully with the love of our life all the days that he gives us. That's God's. He actually is, I believe, puts that responsibility upon us. Proverbs 5, verse 15, drink waters out of thine own cisterns and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountain be dispersed abroad, and the rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And I don't blush to read that verse, because it's God's word to us. God is saying to us this morning, fathers, we have a responsibility to rejoice in the wife of our youth. Now, not only to rejoice, but to be enraptured and intoxicated by what God has given us in our wife. And yes, that's a responsibility. You see, a lie that is in our society is that the picture in these verses that's painted is something that can only be found magically by somehow falling into love with a special someone. And this morning, I believe that many of us have had the opportunity to make a choice of a wife, someone who we loved. That's a little beside the point. What I'm saying here this morning is that the relationship that you see painted in these verses is one. The reality is that this relationship is found and developed by careful cultivation and commitment. That's our responsibilities, fathers. If we want to to live and rejoice in the wife of our youth and find her satisfying to us and fulfilling us, then fathers, we have a responsibility to cultivate it and to develop that in our relationship and with our wife. That's what God's calling us to. It's our responsibility. And then we get to experience what the proverb writer, what Solomon was writing in Ecclesiastes, and we could go to many other verses that help us to understand the beauty and the fulfillment in that relationship. Fathers, it's our responsibility. A joyful and satisfying relationship with our wives. And may I say again, the lie that the devil is painting is that somehow is found in some for fling, or it just if I could just find that right person, we could somehow have, and that's a lie. But rather, in service, in love, in commitment, in developing that relationship, God will give us that blessing. And so we have a responsibility, Father, to find that. And the last point I have in this message is this thought of security. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel is, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Thinking about our wives' security, do you see it in these verses? Ephesians 5:28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. But I say unto you, Matthew 5:28, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Those are some verses we'd already looked at, but it's all verses that describe a relationship where a wife is secure in. And it's responsibilities that we have. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and we could look at those verses, that love chapter we call it. And it's talking about this charity. And it's not as a words of love without a life of action become a clanging cymbal, and they become an ugly sound, I might say, in our relationships. The security of my wife, the security of your wife, I believe rests heavily on these two areas. My faithfulness to her as mirrored in my relationship with Christ. And number two, my genuine love for her. A life relationship that goes beyond words into sacrificial life for her. That's where my wife will find security. And fathers, we have the responsibility, not only for our own relationship between the two of us, but because God has brought children into this relationship. And we have a responsibility to be certain that our wives are secure in our relationship. You see, it is a genuine love relationship, not based on the abundance or lack of things, but rather a spiritual, emotional relationship out of which springs the physical relationship desired by both spouses. Brothers, when this is the case, there is security in the home and in our relationships. And we have a responsibility, God-given responsibility, to develop that in our homes. May God help us. It seems like a lot. I was encouraged again by this verse, and I just want to read it in closing. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, us fathers, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This responsibility and the effort that it calls for will not be in vain in the Lord. May God bless us and give us the grace that we need. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we
We come before you this morning and we thank you that we can call you our Father. We thank you that you have made it possible for us to be sons and daughters of yours, of the Most High God. And Lord, as we think about this message this morning and we think about our responsibilities to be fathers to our children and our responsibilities in the home that you've called us to, O God, we recognize how many times we come short. And for that, we ask you for forgiveness. And I just pray that as we press on from this place, I pray that our homes would be strong. I pray that our relationships would be one. And that we would not allow the devil to somehow bring his lies in and to cause us to turn aside and to be caught in his snares and his traps. So God, I pray that our homes and our relationships would be strong. I pray they would be fulfilling. I pray that when this is the case, that your kingdom would be accomplished in our homes and in our communities. I pray that we could be an example of Christ to our wives and to our children. I pray that we could be an example of the Heavenly Father to our children and to our wives. And so guide us in all of this and give us the grace that we need. And we give you the honor and the glory and the praise for what you accomplish in our homes and in our relationships. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.